Blog Talk Radio.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides. God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you. That's everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I
praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Saints, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am so glad you joined us this morning on our Friday Fellowship of Learners for Christ. This is brought to you by Labors for Christ, Word Life Center, under the direction and the pastorate and of our founder, Apostle Dr. Sonnette Arthur. We thank God for our apostle. We thank Him for the vision that brought this type of ministry opportunity into our homes on a Friday morning, starting off our day with worship and praise and learning and sharing and fellowshipping as a body of Christ. coming together as oneness. And as we do this in our season, we've been looking at Abide in Christ by Andrew Murray. What a blessing it has been to journey through the writings of this anointed author as he expounds on John 15. And as we read it every week, we see new gems and awesome revelations that the Lord reveals through his word to us to spiritually develop and grow our hearts and our thinking towards him, intimately drawing us to him, lovingly and kindly drawing us to him. No matter where we find ourselves, we're being drawn to him as we abide in him, as he allows his lifeblood to flow through us, the branches that have been engrafted into the vine, the holy vine of Jesus Christ. Again, good morning, good morning. Life has its challenges, and God has the solution. And so as the anointed psalmist shared with us this morning, God will provide. Sometimes we don't realize the very things that are really weighing us down inwardly, subconsciously, but just a reminder that no matter what it is, even the things we're not really aware that are weighing on our spirit, he will provide. He knows and he cares, and daily he gives us the good stuff that we need for today. Not leftovers, fresh from heaven, manna prepared for us. Part of that manna prepared for us today is in our lesson of and in love to fellow believers. I think this is so profound that this ended up on this particular weekend as Laborers for Christ is going to embark on a ministry opportunity as a body coming together as one. And I encourage everybody to be at church at 9:15 quarter after 9:15 in the morning as we come together as mandated by the apostle, as we present to the body the ministry of one another and establish ministry partners for love, fit ministry partners focusing on love. And so for this to come at this particular time is definitely a blessing for me and for those that will be a part of that worship experience, because it brings to the forefront what the apostle is establishing in the ministry, and that is the ministry of one another, a ministry of love, a ministry of love to believers. And I know that we have one of the, I guess, the issues in the church, in the body of Christ, and though we talk about love, but so many people don't feel love. And they don't feel that eternal, divine love that God speaks of, as he will present in this union. And so as a result, there's so much hurt. There's so much wounding. There's not a reviving when we go to church, but it's almost like stepping on eggshells to make sure you're not offending this one or that one or the other. And so I love this particular section because it also ties in not just with, you know, what's going on at Laborers, which just kind of lets you know that God is in orchestrating our life and our walk and how he sets it up and sets us up for success, not failure, but for success and for victory. And so this lesson, in love to fellow believers. Often when Christ spoke, when he even gave the disciples the prayer, our Father, always indicating that we're in this together, and we're in this together under and because it has been ordained by God. One of the things the author puts forth in earlier units is the fact that we were ordained before the foundation of the world to dwell in Christ. It was ordained for us to be together as a body, not just me and just you, but all of us. It was ordained before the foundation of the world. And so in love to fellow believers. So each word, we need to always do the word study when we're studying our word and writings and doing our Bible study, because each word has a specific message that together this statement is making to us in love to fellow believers, indicating there's a position and there is a focus. There is a position, there is a focus, and then it gives the parameters of that position. The position is in. That's our being engrafted Christ. We have to be engrafted in Christ. And I think it's such a powerful first page that he's sharing with us, because he's giving us actually a glimpse at the heavenly meaning of love. Even though there is scriptures that, you know, love is not this, love is that, love is, you know, and so we have that. But here, when the author first opens up, what he says is, God became man. And then he says, divine love began to run in the channels of a human heart. Indicating, this statement here indicates, it becomes the love of man to man, indicating it hadn't been that way ever before. Before, divine love had not run in the channels of a human heart. And we may say, well, man's love, you know, and there was a love that was on the earth, absolutely. But the love that Christ was bringing, that was running through the channel, the chambers, the valves of the heart, okay, was this new divine love. And so he then goes on in this statement, the love that fills heaven and eternity now is to be seen here on earth, in the light of earth and of time. So I know Elder Roberta mentions it all the time, you know, you read it again. But it wasn't the first, it's like it's to be seen in daily life of earth, the life of earth and the life of time, indicating that this divine love that comes from heaven was not structured in time, nor was it structured in a space, but it had all eternity. Sometimes it's hard for our minds to wrap around this new concept, this concept of eternity. But love was an eternal, no one called it thing because God is love, but love was an eternal concept. It's an eternal element. It is something that had to be, how do I want to put it? Not adjusted, but it had to be reconfigured in order to fit into earth and time. Not reconfigured is not really what I want to say, but it had to come here, because it wasn't here before. It was in eternity. It was in a timeless environment, and it was in an environment that had no limits. So as it came here, it was bound in the heart of man through Jesus Christ. So it says this love, the love that fills heaven is filled. In other words, there is no spot or space in heaven that love did not exist in. And eternity, on the timeline, if there's such a thing, there was always love. It filled eternity, and it filled heaven. And so this is something that now has to be translated into a world that has limits in its space and limits in its time. An earthly vessel being man, this love of man to man. And so on earth, it has to be contained. It puts limits. It's contained. And because it's contained, I hope I can share this, how God gave it to me, but it puts limits. Earth and time is where we dwell. And because that's our environment initially, when we're born, it has limits. And because of it, it makes us, this concept, it makes us scared, really, of what we fill our life up with. So it makes us very cautious of what we're going to allow to be a part of our life, because we realize it has limits. It has a beginning and it has an end. And there's only a certain amount of time that's available for that to happen. And so what we fill our life with becomes subject to what we look around and see, what we hear, what we are programmed to think. So what we see, what we're programmed to think, and what we hear are the parameters, and they define what we are going to fill our life with. And so we want to get, we see that because we are limited time and limited space, that we want to get the biggest bang for our buck. That's the man's frame of mind. The most, to get the most for what you have in the space and time that you have to get it. So we fear expending our time and our space on an unknown or unseen thing that is called this divine love. We don't trust the outcome of it, and that it will enhance our existence because we don't see it. So the author is saying here that this love that fills heaven and eternity is to be seen here daily in the life of earth and time. So earth and time, and that's where we are by, earth and time has to manifest so that others can see what this divine love is and then trust it to have value for their limited time, and so they embrace it. But it's hard to embrace, and it's interesting because one of the things that Christ did, he made this statement, and also the statements that he made obviously was, you know, that this is my commandment, the Savior said, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And it's, but it's how do you see this love? How do you know it? How do you get exposed to it so that you can trust it to expend your energy on it, okay, and make it a part of your life, which is why he had to give them time, you know, 70 times 7. Okay, because we needed it to have limit. We needed it to fit in the structure of our thinking. And so he gives us the Sermon on the Mount that deals with this critical issue that man has. And because it focuses on the greatest problem we have, which is our what's in our heart. And so he's trying to replace that limited thinking by creating in us a heart environment that will be able to embrace this divine love. And so he goes on in the Sermon on the Mount to understand that we need to convert our thinking. And that's what he even tells Peter and the disciples. You know, when you are converted, he says, you know, then you can help others. And that converted means you convert your thinking from this temporal to the eternal. And it's hard to see that, and he knew that, but he knew that once we saw him raised, and once they saw him raised from the dead, then they would understand there is an eternal, and I can think outside of this limited earth and limited time experience into a heaven and an eternal existence. And that's the transforming and transitioning from being influenced on the earth realm to being subject or being planted, engrafted into that which is heavenly and eternal, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that's when the power of this new life is revealed in Christ. When that revelation hits us, when we realize that now we have been converted because we see, we know, we believe that Christ rose from the dead. And so that this life doesn't have that limit. This earth doesn't have that containment of us any longer. We don't have to fit in that box any longer because Christ has, if you will, he's out the box. And now he's out the tomb. And because of that, we're out and we're seated with him in the heavens where this love generated from, where this love originated from. So now this love that fills the heavens and eternity is required to fill our heart. And so one of the authors of the Synoptic Gospels study of the Synoptic Gospels, he indicated as Christ was teaching the kingdom and what it would be like, the issue of love was shared more than actually 12 times of the love one another, and that's part of our ministry of one another, and we've looked at those scriptures. But he also indicated that there is a condition of the heart, which is where the life flows from. So this life that has to be transformed into eternal realm and a spiritual realm and a heavenly realm has to also be transformed on earth in us. And so he has 33 actually precepts that perfects love in us. And he goes on there is fascinating study of the heart that we are to have. And this heart is what will manifest the love, this divine love that is coming from man to man, a merciful heart, a clean heart, a peaceful heart, a grateful heart, a unoffended heart, a sincere heart, an enlightened, consistent heart, a wholehearted heart, a transparent heart, a harmless heart, a heart without fault, a yielded heart, a heart seeking God's glory only, a perfected heart, an accepting heart, a praying heart, a non-vengeful heart, a reverent heart, a faithful heart, a morally clean heart, a non-hypocritical heart, a wise heart, a seeking heart, a loving heart, a sold-out heart, a discerning heart, an obedient heart, a believing heart, an undivided heart, a forgiving heart. This is the heart that then will reflect that love from man to man, that divine love that came down and flowed through the heart of Jesus Christ as a man. And then he gives us the opportunity to allow that to flow through us as we are engrafted in him. And he says, so by this Once this is being created in you, this heart of love, this heart of the many aspects of this divine love, it's beyond what we know here. And so he gives us scripture. He gives us teaching on it. Ask, believe, enter into the straight and narrow to be sold out. You have to enter to the straight and narrow. A discerning heart, therefore by your fruits, be wise, get the wisdom that comes from this love. That love, all this comes from love. All of this comes from not just love, but the divine love that Christ brought to the earth. So I wanted to share some of that, and it goes so deep. I do want to make it available to all of our fellowshippers, because it is something that as we view it, Holy Spirit will bring every instance to our understanding when that is not the heart that we have. And so by that we realize that then that is not the love of Christ that I am, that the world will see. Because remember, the whole point is that it has to be seen daily. It has to be seen among us daily. And for that to happen, we have to guard your heart. Your heart is the most deceitful of all things. All of these, we've been given this preparation for a warning of, truth about, and now the solution for it. The solution for it is found in the Sermon on the Mount, because he tells us the things that we must do. And so often, we go, well, no, I'm not going to do that one, because each one of these hearts come with a scripture. It comes with a verse that we're to do, and it also shows how it's violated and how the Church of Corinth violated some of these precepts just because they were living like they had been living, and they didn't realize this is part of what has to change as well. And so Paul was reminding them of what Christ said and then applying it to some of the errors of their ways in what they were doing. And so it probably would be really good to just study the First Corinthians, just look at the things that we are admonished to do by Paul, and they compare to what Christ has said in his Sermon on the Mount. And so in order to produce this love, this in love to fellow believers, our hearts have to be transformed. Our hearts have to be filled with the love that fills heaven and earth, heaven and eternity, so it can be seen on earth. And it says it will be the greatest evidence of the reality of the new covenant, the greatest evidence, which is why Christ said, if you lift me up, I'll draw. You lift me up by showing them my heart. They don't know my heart, and my heart has been misrepresented, by the scribes and the Pharisees, and it's been misrepresented even by the children of Israel that weren't faithful to me and had a hard heart and did not obey me. But if you reflect me as you abide in me, divine, as branches, then you're lifting me up for others to see daily, because Christ is gone. He's left. And so he's left us to be the reflection of who he is, or the extension of who he is, because we are abiding in him. It says he simply lived and acted out the life of divine love that was in the heart of God. And so when we view and we study the life of Christ, and I love it at the beginning of this on 204, it says, let us try to understand how this is so. We know that God is love and that Christ came to reveal this. It is not a doctrine, but it is a life. His life in its wonderful self-abasement and self-sacrifice was above everything the total perfect picture of divine love, the showing man in a human form as he was, that they so that we could understand how God loved, and showing them, you know, in this love to the unworthy, the ungrateful, in his humble, in his humbling himself to walk among men as a servant, in him giving himself up in death, he simply lived out the life of divine love. So in other words, what he was doing was just showing us what love is. This is love. He loves, he loves. One of the things I found that the author shared on 206, he says, as it studies, and it says, Christ dealing with his disciples, this brotherly love finds the law of his conduct. So this is how you are to act. This is how you are to go forth. As it studies, as they study his forgiveness and forbearance toward his friends with the 70 times 70 as his only measure, as it looks to his unwearied patience, his infinite humility, as it sees the meekness and lowliness with which he seeks to win for himself. And this is something most people don't seek to win, but a place as their servant. So have we sought to win a place as the servant of one another? Have we strived to do that? And it says, follow his example. Each lives not for himself, but for others. The law of kindness is on the tongue. For love has vowed that never will one unkind word cross its lips. It refuses not only to speak, but even to hear or think evil. It is more jealous of the name and character of the fellow Christian than of its own. My own good name I may leave to the Father, but my brother's good name has been entrusted to me by the Father. And so when we hear that, he has entrusted us with to maintain the good name of our brothers and sisters. Our good name he will maintain. And you say, well, he can maintain theirs too. Yes, but in the earth realm, we need to, the love, remember, is from man to man. And this is how this experience has to, this is the conduct that we have to have. We have to, as he says here, not to refuse, not only to speak evil of our brother or sister, not to think it, nor to even allow anyone to say it, but to be jealous. In other words, I want your name to have the reputation of the love of God so much that anything that will interfere with that, I'm going to do something about. And that's saying a lot, you know, and that doing something about it, we go, oh, well, now, I don't know, what is it we're supposed to do? But then that's when we go to the scriptures, of the one another, okay, in honoring, prefer the other, admonish one another, salute one another with the holy kiss, greet one another, in love as I have loved you, then you love one another, forbearing one another in love with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, let's see, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, nor envying one another. So this is how we can be jealous for the name and character of our fellow Christians more than ourselves, bearing one another and forgiving one another. Be kind and tenderhearted towards one another. Comfort one another. Edify one another. Exhort one another daily. Provoke them to love, exhorting them. Serving them. And so there are commandments and scriptures abounding as to how we are to be jealous of the name and character of our fellow Christians more than our own, and how to how our conduct, what it should look like in order to exercise in love to our fellow believers. And he makes it clear that this is not just something we're supposed to do, but it says it's been entrusted to us by the Father. He trusts us with one another. And so how well a steward are we to that trust that he has given us? How have we, and this is not the people that, you know, that I don't want to say that you like and that it's easy, but this is with the most disagreeable, the most unworthy, and this is even the ones that are unworthy because they haven't even come to Christ yet, but they're coming. They have been preordained to be a part of the body of Christ. And so how have we loved? It is love to each other as disciples that is ever put in the foreground as a link between love to God and alone and to man in general. And so what we do, the Bible says, do heartily unto man as unto God. And so just in his chapter of love, he has put some challenges out to us. He's put some truths here for us to meditate on and to study and to pursue. And so as you read, what were the things that stood out for you? What was some of the insight that you received in his teaching? I've been going on and on and on this morning. So, anybody?
Good morning.
I heard somebody else.
No,
good morning,
go ahead.
Good morning. Okay. Evangelist Margaret and then Elder Roberta.
Good morning again. This was an eye-opener, and most of it is things that we figure that we know. My take on this was I went to separating emotions and love. That's two different things, real big two different things. And to just say truly love as Christ loved us, and then as we love him, to love each other, really love each other and what it means. So my dealing with it was separating emotion and love.
Now, where do you think the emotions come from?
Flesh, those things, I guess.
Okay, you know, you're right. And what I hear, and what he was sharing earlier for me this morning was we have those emotions because we are responding to our limitations of space and time. And because we think of ourselves temporally, because we're on earth and we have this, that's our space, and we have this certain amount of time, okay, that our emotions are triggered because there is a challenge to, okay, what am I putting in this space and time? Okay, I only got this much, and so I have to really be careful. So if it's something that, you know, is negative, not negative, but if it's something that's different, I have to judge, do I want this? And if I want it, then my emotions for it will be very positive. But if I don't want it, then my emotions won't be. Or it can be my emotions say, oh, yeah, this is a good thing, even though it's not a God thing. But it's a good thing because I've seen it this way and people say that and the other. And so we build up these ideas and these value judgments in our mind. And so they are what triggers our emotions. And that emotion of love is such a powerful one because it is such a valuable one when you think of, you know, your your limitations. And in the limited concept of our life, the most important thing is to be loved and to be wanted and to share. No one thinks of a life of solitude on a desert. Well, there may be. by themselves with nothing. And
right.
if they do, it's probably because they've been hurt and they don't trust
right.
it anymore. You know, and so it is really a matter of trust. You know, and we are emotional people because we are responding to those things that we believe have to be.
But,
so that we want
Overseer,
yes.
So why don't we respond to point blank just the word that we have read, that we are not loving because this is something that we see or desire or think it's right, and we just use that word love so loosely, but that the root comes back to Christ. So what is it that, even I heard what you just said, but what is it that just preempt us to just so loosely take that word and use that word and display that word totally from what Christ has deemed us to do?
Well, I think the author shares that too. He says because it hasn't been seen on the earth. So the only thing that has been seen on the earth is the enemy's counterfeit of love. The enemy has defined love. And so it's those influences in our life. Your school, education defines love. The media defines love. Entertainment defines love. Even our family defines love. But if they're not defining it based on the word of God, then the definition they're giving us is an inaccurate one, but it's the only one we have because we don't see the other one enough. That's why it says it's not seen in the earth realm, and it needs to be. So if we saw the two, then we could choose, okay? And so the only two we see is Christ and then him compared to everything else. But if we saw Christ and then all of Christ's disciples doing what Christ was doing, then we would look like, oh, wait now, I think theirs looks more genuine than this over here. But the only one we see in his power is Christ. And because we feel, well, I'm not Christ, you know, I'm human, you know. And so it's so much easier to do what other people are doing, to accept what other people have told us to accept, than it is to accept words out of a book, words. Now, you can accept the truth when those words are alive. That's why he said it's not doctrine. It's life. But if you see the life, then, and there has to be some people that you know they just had a heart of gold. And you can remember those people. But you don't really associate yourself with those people. Okay? You know, they may have been, you know, your grandma. I don't know. But it's just, but it needs to live so among us till it becomes desirable because it becomes the influence for us. So we're not influenced by the life of people who are living Christ's divine love because there's not enough of them. And you can go where there should be a concentration of them, and that's the church, and you don't see it. So which love will you choose? You know, you don't want the one there. That hurts. Okay? Plus it's weird. Okay? Because they're saying it about Christ. But it's really not really making sense. And it looks like this. They say that. You know, there's the word of the letter of the writing. And then there's the living and the lives of those that are saying the words but not living the words or becoming the words. And so we accept the other because it's more convincing and more people are doing it.
Can
and again, we have to
I'm sorry. Can we say...
No, go ahead.
Can we say that... Can we say God loves with no strings attached?
Mm-hmm.
Can we say that?
Yes.
I believe that if we do, we're not being truthful. There's a lot of strings attached to God's love. And those strings are peace, joy, power, riches. I mean, there's a lot of stuff attached to God's love. Now, is there,
No, I guess what I was thinking is, so if I love God, if I love man, then what do I owe God? Am I looking for something in return? I'm not quite sure of how I'm putting this, but...
You need love to do something for you.
But what am I to do and for it in return?
Well, see, that's just it. It's not an it. And that's what Christ
well, I
was
didn't
trying
mean,
to
okay.
say. No, I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But because that's how we view it as an it, and it isn't. It is a doctrine. You know, so if I follow this doctrine, you know, what is it going to do for me? Well, it's not a matter of following the doctrine. It's a matter of becoming something that you never were before. You know, and I understand that it's that concept, what's it called, aspect concept. But as we study, as we abide in Christ, it will honestly, naturally flow and happen. You won't realize it has happened as quickly as it has until you experience something, and then you realize, wow, I didn't respond like I used to. You can't go back. And you didn't do it for a purpose, a particular reason. You did it. You obeyed. That's the path to being intimate with Christ is obeying. That's the path to knowing what His will is for your life. And so, as we start to value the relationship we have with God, then we will value the relationship He wants us to have with one another. But good question. Good question, because that's what we think. Elder Roberta?
Yes, ma'am. If I could read this passage from the book, Minister Paulette, that I think, and then I'll make my comment. It says, excuse me, on page 184. It says, because we have learned, and I'm not so sure if we have learned from Christ, that in the life of divine love, the emptying of self and the sacrifice of our will is the surest way to have all we can wish or will. And that latter part, I was thinking about what popped in my mind was to have the love of Christ for the people. And then it goes on to say, if Christ finds us willing to trust ourselves and our interests to His love, if in that trust we give up all care for our own will and honor, if we make it our glory to exercise and confess absolute dependence on Him in all things, if we are content to have no life but in Him, He will do for us what the Father did for Him. He will lay His glory on us as the name of our Lord Jesus is glorified in us. We are glorified in Him. He acknowledges us as His true and worthy representative. He entrusts us with His power. He admits us to his counsels as he allows our intercession to influence his rule of his church and the world. He makes us the vehicles of his authority and his influence over men. His spirit knows no other dwelling than such and seeks no other instruments for his divine work. Blessed life of love for the soul that abides in Christ's love, even as he in the Father's. So when I read that, and I've read this chapter several times, the thing that stood out the most was we entrusting ourselves and our interests to his love. And I'm just speaking for my own self. And I was looking back over my life, and I said I know that some of the reason you know, when you first accept the Lord and everything, you just love, love, love. And then as time goes on, that love that you have exemplified in your earlier walk began to wither. And so I was saying to myself, I say, okay, why is that? Well, let flesh get in the way. Flesh begins to get in the way. And you begin to listen to, you're not hearing the voice of God, you're hearing the voice of the enemy that begin to whisper little negative things and little negative here, there. And you say, oh, yeah, you begin to agree, you know. And so I believe that some of that causes the love to diminish. And that begins to, the love begins to diminish. And so now we have to, and we should, repent to God for not allowing ourselves to listen more to his Holy Spirit than our flesh and the enemy. So that was my take, what I saw as far as love, loving, truly loving like the Father loves.
And
Apostle said something in class the other night, and about not being able to go back and get something that he had or he was trying to steer you toward or in or what have you. And that sparked something in my mind, because at times I'll talk to her about it, and I heard her say before too that don't desire the past. Like I would say, oh, I wish I could be in that mode. I could get back to that mode where I was with him in this area or that area. And she would say, you know, don't wish for that. But where he has you now, if I can put it in my words, in this season and time, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess if I can say, in this season and time, begin to stand in that and go forward in that and let him do with you in this season what he wants to do. Don't reach back to the old season, but let him do with you what he desires to do with you in this season and move forward. So this chapter has a lot in it. And like I said, I've read it over and over again because it's just so full of words to cause you to reflect and look inside yourself and see where you are as far as Christ's love in you. And I believe that it, and I know it really takes that Holy Spirit to bring that love out in you, the Father's love out in you for your sisters and brothers, and as you said, for those that haven't and doesn't know Christ at this time. So that's what I got from this chapter.
Amen. Amen. And I believe as you were sharing, and when we all reflect, it's that we didn't see this divine love daily in life on earth and in time. We just haven't, we didn't see it.
Right.
We saw part of it. We saw the exercise of it that was powerful, that brought us to salvation. We saw it in people. But then in that same life environment, there was not a continuance of that sacrifice that brought about that unconditional love. It was like the love started to have conditions. The love started to whisper things, say things. The love started to judge. The love started to be divided. And so it caused us to. The love started to not really be wise. The love started to be on hypocritical on some areas. You saw that. That's what we saw. And probably one of the greatest things, we really didn't see a believing heart. We didn't really see someone who really believed everything that was being said. They believed some of it, and then some of it they didn't, or say, well, you don't have to, or whatever. And so it's that fullness of that Sermon on the Mount. And I think that when we look at it and then we reflect upon it, you know, we can see our own error, but the error of the church as the people stopped, you know, because at some point, just like you were in the church, you stopped. You stopped growing in that powerful love that was without condition. And there came a time, no, you wouldn't give your life for them. Absolutely not. You wouldn't even, on some level, we wouldn't even give our time, let alone our life. We wouldn't give our time to them. You know, our love had limits, again, because that's what we were. We were people living, we are people that live within the limits of our lifespan and our space. Mm-hmm. And so because we have limits. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, too, that it, I could hear Apostle say, is he Lord of your life? Who's Lord of your life? And I was thinking, you know, if Christ is actually Lord of our life, then we would have that love as we ought to as well. If he was actually Lord of our life. Yes, ma'am.
And not only, and you know what, and, or in the process, or surrender to the process of him being Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we're not perfected, but the minute I do something or I say something, and that's why I say these, looking at this, and I honestly, these hard conditions, I call them the hard conditions, the minute you say something that indicates you have a hard condition, Holy Spirit is going to let you know. Trust me, he will. That's his job, and he's on his job. And the minute he does, if we respond to him properly, then we're growing, and we're going. And that thing is past, and it doesn't, it loses its power. It loses its hold on my thinking
because I heard Holy Spirit, and I see it says, you know, when it says have a believing heart, take no thought for tomorrow. How many of us know what we're going to do tomorrow? That means we took a thought for it. The scripture says, have no thought for tomorrow. I believe in it. And I'm not going to say, you know, it's like, okay, well, you got to know, you got an appointment. I understand all of that. But it says seeking the kingdom of God first and not worrying about what you will eat, drink, or wear. I mean, and literally, we, you know, you say, well, you can't take that literal. Yes, you can. And yes, we must. You know, in wisdom, and I'm not saying you so you shouldn't shop for groceries for a week. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, how does that affect our thinking for today? We miss the joy and the blessing of today because we don't believe about tomorrow. We don't believe all that God has said about tomorrow. We don't. And so, because if we do, we would know it's not from. And so we would live today, you know, what if you knew that this is the last day of your life? Would you live it like you had planned to live it today? Probably not. There would be some things that would take priority, some things that you hadn't done, wouldn't do, but you figure I'll do it another day. But if tomorrow's not promised, and if you do it today, how much more on task as Christians will we be, you know, and not putting off something, you know, I missed a call for him, so I'll call him tomorrow. You know, maybe that's part of that love one another. Maybe that's the call that that person needs. You know, maybe that is the thought. Stop and pray now. So I will pray for you. No, pray now. What are you waiting on? Pray without ceasing. You know, it says, so just so many different things that, you know, when it happens, Holy Spirit will show you. You're not having a believing heart. And then you ask, well, what do you mean? I believe. And then he'll say, well, then you need to believe this. Do you believe? And that's when he'll bring back to your remembrance the word of God. And then that's what brings the conviction. Okay? When we go for their words, their words on the paper. You know, the agape love is, you know, love one another. Those are words on a paper. Those words on a paper have to live by the activities in our life. They have to be what fuels the activities in our life. I know when we first read the list of one another, a lot of it we were going like, what? Why would I do that? What? You know, well, we have to remember that's what God said you're supposed to do. So that was something. You know, we went, So I think it's so interesting that when we're at the place, when we have followed him and we look around and we find ourselves in a place or a season, and we go, oh, I didn't know that. That's because now it's time to know it. And so he's going to bring it to the forefront and he's going to teach to us. So in other words, he's saying, okay, I know that's you didn't know that. Now this is what this is your lesson, or this is the season you're in now. This I'm going to teach you. This I'm going to establish. Remember, moment by moment, he's pruning us. Moment by moment, he's checking us out to see what's there, so that nothing will hurt us. So in other words, when we get to a certain point, okay, now today I need to bring this to Paul's remembrance or to our knowledge, a letter understand, no. That is not a believing heart. This is what a believing heart is. No, that is not a harmless heart. A harmless heart. Oh, my God. You know, it's the things in your heart, are they harmless? Now, they may not be vengeful, but are they harmless? You know, if you say them because you're true, or they're not true, but you have a right to say them, I know if it's true. Some truth, you don't have to say it, but you know, it's revealed to you for you to do something else with, not necessarily say it. But that's something different. But, how harmless are you? Whosoever says to his brother, fool, you know, no slandering or contemptuous name calling, period, or hate, you know, or mercy that begins, mercy begins in our thoughts and in our words. I heard someone say that there were a group of church leaders who were washing the feet of immigrants, those that were coming into the country as a sign of wanting them and that they were wanted and that they were going to serve them. And so when the author shared the fact that Christ worked to win place of a servant in our hearts, he worked to win the place to say, I'm a servant. He worked for that position. You know, do we work for the position of servitude? I know Pastor said that too, actually earlier this week, the fact that who asked to be ordained as a servant? Just ordain me as a servant. You know, nobody. You know, and somebody texts me, you know, I want to be the chief servant. I say, see, even in that, it is not a servant. I'm a chief servant. So even in that, we have a judgment. And humility is so far from us sometimes, even when we think, oh, that's great. No, that really is. If you're the chief servant, then you're over somebody. I'm the best servant there? No. You know, the lowest, you know. And so, I mean, it's just some of the things that we say, Holy Spirit has to show us. No, that's what this means. That the root of that is this. And he'll show us that. We don't come knowing that stuff. But that's what comes as we have a relationship. Remember the other week was the more and more we obey him, the more and more we hear and obey Holy Spirit, the closer we get to the will, knowing the will and the mystery of the Father. And so these are things that we're growing into because we're walking in obedience to him. And this path of love that comes and love that's manifested through obedience, he said, if you love me, obey me. And so as we obey, this love will be revealed more and more to us. And so it's, I'm going to say it was error before, but we weren't on that place on the road before. We didn't know that place on the road. And there are a lot of people that don't. But they won't if they don't see us walking that road, see us at that place, because that's the author starts off by saying it is to be seen here daily. And the way it's seen here daily all over the earth is through all of the saints that are all over the earth, which is why Christ said, what I do, you do more, you know, because there's more of us. We're in more places. Not that he couldn't be in all places at all times, but he wasn't because he had come as a man. And so as a result, he's saying, as us abiding in him, we actually take him everywhere we are. And so we're able to manifest what we're getting from him into the world. And so they don't see the words now. Now they see him. And the fruit that he brings. Because he said, if you lift me up, I'll draw. Because I know how tough my stuff is. So you just show them really me. Don't show me mixed with you. Because that's going to make them run away. But if you show them just me, they'll come. Because I know how I got it. And he understands.
Right.
And so I just,
Minister Paulette, another thing the writer says, too, is, he says, believer, abide in the love of Christ. Take and study his relation to the Father as pledge of what your own can become. As blessed, as mighty, as glorious as was his life in the Father, can yours be in him. Let this truth, accepted under the teaching of the Spirit and faith, remove every vestige of fear, as if abiding in Christ were a burden and a work. And I think sometimes we may look at it, you know, in our walk in Christ as a burden and a work. Especially if you're not. If you're not, or you haven't come to the place of, for lack of another word, a lot of people use, sold out to the world, you know, for lack of another word, you feel that, you know, they feel that it's a burden and a work.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, in the light of his life than the Father. Let it henceforth be to you a blessed rest in the union with him,
mm-hmm.
an overflowing fountain of joy and strength.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and that's mm-hmm. sold out. And is your heart sold out? Is it whole heart?
Yes, ma'am.
Is your whole
mm-hmm.
heart, or is it divided? And I think when it's divided,
yes.
when it's not wholehearted, that's where our struggle comes in. And I think
yes,
on one of the
yes.
uplifts said, we don't understand, you know, we say disobedient, you know, that it's, you know, it's not positive being a Christian or walking close to Christ. And it says, but we
mm-hmm.
be careful that the thing that isn't is the fact that disobedience is what caused depression and our problems. It's not walking
mm-hmm.
close to Christ that does it. I forget the chapter that. That says it, and it's like
you're talking about at the bottom of page 185 where it says it never can be a work we have to perform. It must be with us as with him, the result of the spontaneous overflowing of a life from within and the mighty inworking of the love from above.
What? It's probably in obedience. Because it says to treasure obedience like we treasure the promise. And and he shares how, you know, people choose not to be obeyed, you know, it's not a positive thing. And yet the thing he's saying is what's not positive is what you do when you're not obeying. That's what's not the positive thing. But the author has so much, and as you're indicating, just even as we study and we can read one chapter and it's obviously piggybacks on other chapters and brings what he said previously into a greater light and fuller understanding and giving good examples of the process. So any more comments, questions, revelations, you know, things that you saw, read, was revealed? Okay. Well, I am happy to announce what our next study is going to be. And I can, if you need to text me your email address, and my phone number is 773. No, it's not. That's not mine. What's the phone number? And my phone number is 630-701-4303, for those that don't know my number, just text me your email address and I can send it, the book to you. We have it in an e-file. Elder Deborah shared it with me and I got it online, not online, but I had it in my file. I had forgotten that it had been sent to us in the form of a, I don't know what they call it, but anyway, it's in a Word document, the whole book. We're going to do The Green Letters by Miles Sanford. The Green Letters by Miles Sanford. You don't have to buy the book. I can send it to you in the Word file, and carefully that'll make it easier for you ladies to convert it in Word. You know, it'll read what's in Word, and they'll read the book to you. That's my prayer. Is that true?
Yes, it is. That is true. Thank you. That's great.
Okay, praise the Lord. So that's where we'll start, since we're fast ending this book, and we will next week That You May Not Sin. And then I guess by the end of the month, is that true? End of the month, first next month, we'll be through with this book, and so we will start our next book probably first the second week in October. Okay, so I can get it out to you, and you can kind of get a preview of what it's going to be about. And it's got nothing to do with the word of the title of the book, which is The Green Letters. Hard to figure out the book by its title, but it is a very good teaching tool. Okay.
Okay, wait,
so
I'm sorry.
There's nothing else? Yes.
Okay, can you say that title again, please? The Love
title?
Green, yes, of the book?
No, it's The Green Letters.
Oh, The Green Letters. Okay. And
yes,
and it's by who?
Mile J. Sanford. S-T-A-N-F-O-R-D.
Okay. Thank you.
Not a problem. Send me your email. I can send you the book.
Okay. All right.
And they work. All right. And actually, it's in a Word document, not even PDF. It's a Word document. You can manipulate it, do anything you write your notes on it, you can do anything you want with it. Print it out, leave it on your computer. So it
really?
Should be fun. It should be. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a Word document. Sorry?
Okay.
That should be fun experimenting. Right, Charlie. Right.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, we had talked about it, and I said, well, only if I can get it audible or something. And then Elder Deborah reminded me that someone sent it to us, and so it should be on our hearts, on our, you know, in our computer. And sure enough, I typed it in, and up popped the book. It's like, all right, then.
All right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. So we're on your mark. Get set. We're going to go.
Yeah. God bless.
God bless.
All right. Have a great day.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Enjoy work.
You
all. Enjoy your work. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.